Says that Jesus is to Jesus' resurrection by his blood to those who believe. And so if you have repented of your sins and you've trusted Jesus, you can be certain, you can rest in this truth that Jesus is your shepherd. He is your shepherd. You don't have to worry. And I think, I messed it up somehow. When I did this, when I said this, when I thought this, did it separate me from God? No. And I think it's something that I should love God in Christ, who is our real shepherd. Let's look at some of those other things that are true about God. He makes us lie down in green pastures. That means he gives us comfort. He gives us peace and safety. If you're an animal and you're on edge, we recently got some cats in our house, two little kittens. And so they still haven't gotten used to all the noises yet. So the dog wakes up, or the lawnmower starts going, or they hear some other foreign noise, they're kind of on alert, right? They're at attention, ready to go. Because they're not at peace, right, in that area. Everything's new to them, so they're kind of on. The Lord is our shepherd, we're at peace, we lie down, safely leads us, he makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters to give us peace. He restores our soul, right? So just to be clear here in this psalm, these are spiritual blessings that we find ourselves having in this shepherd, and the good shepherd in our Lord. He protects us physically, gives us comfort and peace, gives us provision. Restores our soul. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. All these things are promises that God makes to those who are in him. We need to hang our hats on those things. We need to rest in these certain truths about God, these promises that God has given us, that if we are his sheep, he will do these things. I would suggest we first read the book parts of this psalm. The last phrase, the last prepositional phrase there, verse 3. So we see these promises up to this point that he does for us. Look what it says. He does these things for his namesake. Same storms of pasture. It says this. It says perhaps the most pervasive theme in all of Scripture is God's passion for God. Maybe that's not a title. Any would have preferred, this is storms, it goes on, any would have preferred that I said God's passion for you. But if God isn't first and foremost committed to himself in the pursuit of praise of his own glory, his love for you would amount to much. You see, God's first concern in all of creation is his own glory. That's why God works in all the ways that he works. God wants to be known among the nations, and he acts accordingly to that purpose. So why does God lead us by still waters and gives us comfort and peace and leads us down the paths of righteousness and restores our soul? Why does he do all of that? The answer here in the psalm is for his namesake. That as we as his people rest in these truths, and this is why we have to rest in these truths and live as if they're true and live our lives out amongst unbelievers and the lost world as if these things are true. We have to do that because that is what brings the most glory to Jesus. We live different than the rest of the world in trials and struggles and suffering and chaos that this world offers. We are rested from being God's goodness. And this has always been God's purpose. In 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon is dedicating the temple. And here's what he says in verses 3-3. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a foreign country for your name's sake, for they shall hear of your great name and mighty hand and your outstretched hand, he comes and prays towards this house here in heaven, the dwelling place of your great name. And all that all the people on earth may know your name and fear you, as you as do your people in Israel, that they may know that this house by the Lord is called by your name. Solomon says, when the nations hear about the goodness of God, so God has always been a God by the nations. Missions and the Great Commissions isn't new to the New Testament.
God is always about his glory among the nations. And Solomon says here, when you do work amongst your people Israel, the nations will hear about it, and the foreigner will come in to the people that will pray to you because of your glory and for your name's sake. John chapter 2, verse 12 says this. So speak. Jesus calls it first God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. It says, I'm writing to your church because your sins are forgiven. It's amazing. All that God is doing from creation through the temple, through his works in the Old Testament, from Christ and out. Us and saving us is so that his name might be known amongst all the nations of the universe. We go on to see other promises that we have rest in the posture. He is with us in the valley of the shadow of death. We are going through the deepest depths in our lives. He doesn't say he will send an angel, or he'll send a messenger, or he'll send a helper, or he'll get to us when he can. He says that he is with us. We are promised personal presence of God. Truth, presence. So, he prepares a table for us. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Sandstorms, so I heard earlier, said an ancient world, far more so than the nation, and complicated with spiritually, was spiritually significant. To be God's guest for dinner was more than a casual encounter to eat and drink at someone's table. Instead, it forced upon the table seal of covenant to the promise. He prepares this table as a host for us. He wants that personal relationship with us. He anoints our head with oil, that gives us blessings, and he causes goodness and mercy to follow us all the days. We can't do that for ourselves. We can't cause those things to follow us, but he does. As we some questions, brothers and sisters, before we jump to the second part of where David is talking about himself, where we can put ourselves into that song and talk about ourselves, before we do that, we need to recognize that these things are true about God and about Jacob. He loves us. He is our shepherd, and we are his sheep. These are promises that we can bank our lives on. See, not only do we need to rest in the strength of God, but secondly, we need to rely in this way to which we all to worship others. So we can rest comfortably. We don't have to do anything. Those are true about God. We just sit back and relax and trust God. But there are things that ought to be true about you and I. There are things that we ought to strive for. We ought to run towards these things as God's people. But you might have noticed that phrase I put in there. Run in the Spirit towards what ought to be true about us. Because the only way we can accomplish these things is in the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I want to mention the things the song says that we ought to be, that ought to be true about us. And I don't want us to read this psalm and just think so highly of ourselves that we go, oh yeah, that's true about me, I'm good, I've got that. These are things we ought to really wrestle with as God's people. We go, am I doing this appropriately? First is, the first one was my statement, I shall run. Julianne mentioned to our children, and the children are saying that, I mean, God gives us everything we need. We don't wish not to want anything, not to be anything, but God gives us everything we need, and we ought to be content in what he has given us. And we can read that psalm and we can say, hey, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. But then the next breath, wanting something, wanting more, wanting bigger, wanting better, we want what we want. We don't ask God, what do you want me to have? We ask, what do I want? And then we chase after those things. I'm here to say, brothers and sisters, we ought to be content with our shepherd so that we can genuinely say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. God is good, gives us. The second is this. Verse 4, if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will
ourselves down and go, hey, man, check, got that handled. Whatever struggles I can handle, I'm good. We don't wrestle with the truth that it's difficult to go through suffering. It's difficult to go through pain. It's difficult to go through valleys. And we fear evil all the time. We fear what's going to happen to us. We fear what's going to happen to our family. We fear what's going to happen to our country. We fear what's going to happen to our city. We fear what's going to happen to our homes, our cars. We fear all these things. And that's just on the surface level. And as we go through difficulties in life, our fears compound. And we ought to be running towards this truth about ourselves that we can genuinely say that even though I'm walking the other side of the aisle, I will fear. The third thing that ought to be true about us that we ought to run towards is this, that we ought to be comforted by His right hand and His staff. Like your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I ask you, do they? Does God's corrective rod that when we get stepping out of line and He gives us that nudge back in, when we get off track and He pulls us back in with the shepherd's hook, does that really comfort us? Do we like that? Are we open to that? Because the truth is, most of us, maybe all of us, maybe none of us, like correction. We don't like to be told we're doing something wrong. We don't like to be challenged that maybe somehow I've believed my whole life, or I've been told my whole life that God's word would point us a different direction. Are you genuinely comforted by God's leading? He's given us instruction here in His word. He's told us what is good and right and true. And from time to time, what we believe or what we think or what we prefer, what we've always heard, is contrary to God's word. And in those moments, that's God with His staff and His rod just kind of pulling us back in line, getting us back, getting us going in the direction. That's exactly what I'm asking. Does that comfort you? Is it a comfort to you that God's word is your guide and it's what you ought to submit to? Because that's what we ought to strive for as God's. Lastly, I want to say, overflow is seen as a waste, right? You have the gas pump, you pump the gas, and then it starts to overflow. You go, oh man, I'm wasting money, right? All that money's coming out. Or your anything that spills is a waste. The overflow, but here, this passage, overflow is a good thing. You see, as God's people, as He is doing what He has promised us He will do, a place for us at the table, guiding, shepherding, loving, caring for us as He is doing all of those things. He is pouring into our lives to the point where our lives ought to overflow. And as that overflow happens, what happens to those people around us? Well, hopefully they'll get a taste of that same thing, right? Whatever's filling up inside of us, we begin to overflow into the lives of those around us. So I want to ask you, is your life as you live it day to day, out and about, around people all around, is your life overflowing with the goodness of God that others know that you are a sheep of a shepherd? I have enough to overflow. Put the cap on it, you've got to press it down because maybe yours is full, but you don't want anybody else to know what you have, you don't want to share with anybody. See, these things in the Psalms that are true about God are not changing. We don't have to wonder, is God doing this? Is He really guiding and leading and protecting and giving me provision? We don't have to question that. We don't have to wonder, is He actually going to do that? Because He promises He will. But what we do have to wrestle with in this Psalm is, am I wanting? Am I fearing evil? Am I being comforted by God as my cup? Brothers and sisters, I hope yes. These things are true about me, that in the power of the Spirit, I'm running after repent of your sins and trust in Jesus.
Not the total.
Something like that. But if you have repented of your sins, you have trusted Jesus, I encourage you to read Psalms 23 and consider, am I following Jesus, the good shepherd, for all the things that he's given to us? So let's stand together as I pray. I'm going to tell you what to do. Lord, we are thankful for the grace that you show us in Jesus. Father, we ask that you'll be with us during this time of invitation, that we would consider if we are sheep of your passion, if we have made you the shepherd of our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us to consider, will we dwell with you forever? Father, if there be anybody who is not sure about